We've been married for 5 years, together for 14, and the last 3 years of our marriage have been filled with tremendous heartbreak.
Yeah, about 3 years ago, I started having a pain in my head, and I got it checked out by a couple doctors. And after a series of scans and actually being referred to a specialist, I was told that I have a tumor growing in the bone marrow of my brain. And I just remember sitting in that appointment, not expecting that at all. At this point, I was 27 years old, healthy, active. And I can just remember just being overwhelmed, just with fear of what stood before me.
Yeah, so shortly after finding out that news, we found out that we were pregnant with our first baby. And while we were extremely excited about it, I was very fearful, so fearful that my husband might die and I would be forced to raise this child on my own. So 2 days before the surgery that he was walking into, we found out that we were miscarrying our first child. And I just remember leaving that appointment, questioning God's goodness and asking him why. Like, why? Why would he allow God to, or why would God allow Luke to go through this surgery without us knowing the outcome of it and give us this baby and then it get taken away from us?
A couple days after that, I was in the ICU recovering from surgery, and Kate was with me, and she began to get severe pain, and her body was actually going through the process of miscarrying our child, and she ended up getting admitted to the very same hospital that I was in. And so here we were going through two of the most traumatic things we had ever gone through in our lives, and she was having to walk through it without me, and I was having to walk through it without her. And I can just remember when you were wheeled into my room, and everyone just left, and we just wept together. It was so hard, but even in the middle of this, God brought peace through his presence, and he positioned people in our lives to remind us that we were never alone through any of it.
Yeah, even through it all, we were supernaturally sustained.
So fast forward to 2020, in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis, Kate and I, in the beginning of the year, we found out that we were expecting again with our second child. And we were so excited, just super, super, super pumped. And what was even crazy about it is we found out that the baby's due date would be December 5th, which was the date of my skull surgery.
Say Kate's pregnant.
A couple years prior. And so we're just looking at that and we're just like, man, this is a redemption story that only God could write. How incredible is that? And so we were super excited. We go to our first ultrasound and got to see our baby. And he was happy, healthy, found out it was a boy, named him Camden Michael. And again, our hearts, just seeing him on that screen for the first time was surreal, to see him move. And just our hearts were just filled with just this deep love for him. And in our second ultrasound, came up that there was some issues. He was having a problem passing fluid. And so there was an issue with his bladder and some other physical abnormalities. And so just joy instantly turned to sorrow. And so we began to pray. Our friends, our family, everyone just rallied around us, and we just began to pray for God to intervene and to heal our baby boy. And we were believing God for a miracle in that situation.
So a couple weeks later, we went into that appointment and we learned that Camden had passed away. And I was also told that I was not going to be able to pass him naturally, so I was going to have a surgery to remove him. And those 3 full days leading up to that surgery were the hardest for me, because what once was this baby boy full of life inside of me was now a lifeless child inside of me. What do you do with that when you ask God to answer your prayers and they just seem unheard? We were completely devastated just knowing that we wouldn't be able to hold Camden on this side of Earth.
We were heartbroken, for sure. We had to continually lift our eyes off of our circumstance and remind our hearts of the fact that God is good, even in the middle of this season. It was incredibly difficult. Our story is not a sad one, and we do not want people to feel sorry for us, because what we've found through suffering is more beautiful than any earthly blessing. The greatest joy in life is not a baby boy. The greatest joy in life is not perfect health or anything else that we pursue. The greatest joy in life is knowing Jesus and being known by him. And for us, for our story, nothing practically has changed. Our circumstances haven't shifted. We've not been able to get pregnant since losing Cam. But even in the midst of this season, through his presence and through his people, God has sustained us every step of the way. And just how beautiful it is to affirm in the middle of this season where nothing has changed, that Jesus is all we will ever need. And so what we want to encourage everyone with is that God gives great faith to those who seek it. He gives peace to those who pursue him. And he gives us abundant grace for every step along the way. And we don't know what the future holds, but we know that Jesus holds it. And in the middle of this, we say confidently that God is good.
Man, that's hard to watch for us. Even knowing now, looking back, we were in the middle of that season, and actually the worst was kind of yet to come. There was 9 months. The 9 months following that video, we actually lost another child. My father had a heart attack, and my brother made a series of decisions, poor choices that kind of reshaped our family for forever. And that season broke me in ways that I didn't know that I could be broken. But even more than that, and ultimately what I want to share with you today is that it built me up in ways that I didn't know I needed. And so I'm super humbled and thankful to get to share my story with you today. But I just want to say 1,000 times over, there's not an ounce of this story that deserves any credit to myself. I don't have some super faith. I was kicking and screaming through that entire season. It is God's strength. It is God's power. He gets all the glory. And there's absolutely no ounce of it that I or my wife get credit for. And I realize that not everyone has the incredible gift and grace that I have to have video evidence of God's faithfulness. But Kate pointed out to me this week that video we recorded for our church 4 years ago to like pretty much to the week as we were in the middle of it. And now here we stand. A lot of you guys know our precious baby boy, Cameron. We named him in honor of Camden that you saw from that video, and we're now pregnant and expecting another baby boy. And we're just so grateful and so thankful for how God has brought us through this season. But for my time with you, I just, in honor of Pastor Tommy, I wanted to share three things that God taught me through through that season. Tommy, we love you, brother. We miss you. And there's a lot that I learned, but these were kind of the three things that I felt like the Lord impressed upon my heart. I went through, if you don't journal, you need to journal. I went through 30 different journal entries through this period of time. And these were kind of the three things that really stuck out to me that God taught me through this. And the first one was, don't be mad at God. We were made by God for God. It's not the other way around. We didn't create God for us. We were made by him and for him. And there were several times, countless times throughout our season of suffering where I didn't run to God because I was mad at him. And I heard well-meaning people affirm me and say, you can be mad at God. He can handle it. But what I found is, of course, he can handle it. He's God. I'm not. I can't handle being mad at God. Because being mad at God meant that I was placing blame on him for my circumstances when I was only seeing a fraction of the picture that he was painting. He's seeing the entirety of it. And I was neglecting his sovereignty through that season, and I was acting as if he was wronging me or robbing me of something that he owed me. And ultimately, that caused me to isolate myself from him. Because the reality is, if you're angry at someone, you are not going to process what you're going through with them. And that's what I did. I isolated myself from the power and the presence of God, and it zapped me of my strength. It stole my peace, and it broke my heart. But even through all that, I see the grace and the goodness and the patience of God continually drawing me back to himself. And I can remember specifically as I was walking through an extended period of just living in a victim mentality where I like just perpetually am talking about how unfair what I was going through was. I remember the Spirit of God stirring in me as I was reading and I was praying. And I was actually complaining to God about how terrible of a job he was doing in my life. And this is the grace of God. He answered me and just said, you're not a victim, you're a vessel. And it was in that moment that I started to have a heart change and realize that God was pouring into me as a vessel. He was pouring into me in this season for what my next season was. And I couldn't understand it, and I certainly didn't appreciate it, but that's what was happening. And a couple of scripture anchors for me in this time were Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Some of you this morning, you need to hear that. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He's close. And then the other passage of scripture that meant a lot to me and changed my perspective of Jesus is John 11, where Jesus is walking onto the scene. His friend Lazarus had just passed away, and he's walking into a sea of grief. And what just blows my mind about this story is Jesus walks into that situation knowing full well the miracle he was about to accomplish in his friend Lazarus. He was going to raise him from the dead, and all of the weeping would turn to joy. But even still, John 11:35, it says that Jesus wept. He was so moved by the depth of sin and death that our Savior was moved to weep. And that picture of Jesus reframed how I began to process grief. And it was a turning point for me where I stopped being angry at God and I started being angry with God. And it was the realization that he was with me and his heart was hurting with mine. The second thing I learned through this was just the overwhelming amount of pride that was in my heart and the fact that it was manifesting itself mainly through the sin of self-reliance. It wasn't the loud, boastful kind of pride that we see, though I've certainly been guilty of that more times than I'd like to admit, but it was the hero complex. And I'm sure for a lot of us men in here, we can relate to this, but I wanted to shoulder the weight of the world. I didn't want to show weakness. I certainly wasn't being transparent about my weakness. I didn't want help from anyone for anything at all. And pride had convinced me that God needed my strength, when in fact, he was asking for the exact opposite. He was asking for my surrender. And that season broke me down to a point where I had no choice but to rely on God and to rely on his people and admit and confess my need for help. And it was the humble realization that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And the scripture anchor for me in this was 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast not in my strength, but all the more gladly about weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And I have to say that, like, looking back at that season, this is one of the most liberating things that God has done, not only in that season, but in my entire life, to free me from the crushing weight of feeling like I've got to have it all together, I've got to know the answer to every problem, and that, you know, ultimately I've got to be strong and put together. I look at myself and the world completely differently now, and I'm thankful for that season because that fire refined a lot of that out of me. And I would not be the husband, I certainly wouldn't be the father to Cam, or the leader I am today, having not walked through that. And the third, final thing that God taught me, not final thing that he taught me, but the final thing I want to share today is that God has purpose in our pain. Suffering is a tool in the hands of God to shape us and then to send us. It is both formative and missional. God grows our character in ways that we can't see, understand, or appreciate when we're walking through these seasons. In the moment, I can tell you, I wanted God's provision far more than I wanted his presence. I wanted him to get me out of that situation, but praise him that he did not do that, because the formative work that he did in me is now going to last through my entire lifetime, and it's going to, it's a different future for me, because his plans are just far better than mine. I see how he was forming me in that season, building endurance, breaking pride, shaping character, deepening faith. And I didn't realize it when it was happening, and I certainly wasn't looking for it, but he was doing it because he is faithful. The scripture anchor for me here was Romans 5:3-5. Suffering produces character and endurance. Or suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And that is the journey. Suffering leads to endurance, endurance builds character, and character solidifies hope. Not hype, not escape, but hope, anchored hope. And God uses our pain also to minister to others in theirs. What God does in you, he wants to use through you. The places that I've been most broken have been the places where God has allowed me to be the most used. The comfort I received in my grief, I've now been able to extend to others who are walking through the same, and it is not accidental. This is God's grace in motion for us. I can relate with people walking through tough seasons like I couldn't before, and I gotta tell you that there's no better joy than to be able to sit with people, even in the most unthinkable circumstances, because I know what that feels like, and I know that they need that. And for us in the church, it's the difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy says, I'm sorry with you. My heart is breaking with you, which is what we're called to do. Sympathy is, I'm sorry for you. And what we need in that situation oftentimes is very uncomfortable, but it's to make ourselves available. And so I'm thankful that God allowed me to experience that so that I could do that and be that blessing for other people as people were for us. And so for those of you guys that are in seasons currently, like I was in that video, confused, broken, running on fumes, frustrated, brokenhearted, I just want you to hear from me that I'm so sorry that you're walking through that. It is awful, but I want to affirm you that God is not done with your story, and that he's building something far more beautiful in you than you realize now. He's building something far more beautiful in you than you can appreciate now. And whether the practical circumstances, like the beauty in Kate and I's story is not just that our practical circumstance changed, it's that God proved himself faithful through it all. Yeah. And so God's not done with you. There's purpose in your pain. And I want to remind you that he's not victimizing you. He's not picking on you. He's growing you. He's got you. He's for you. And you are not alone because of his presence and because of this body. Thank you.